us race our quarter midgets in Monroe, Washington. Thank you.
Banking in turn number one. Hard to tell if it was from Michael or Casey. Michael comes by me. Casey comes by me as well. Sparks fly from the bottom of the CarQuest Auto Parts Chevrolet, and a lot of damage on Casey Mears' car as he tries to take it back to the pit lane.
And welcome back to North Sound Racing. Steve Mortland here along with Carla Heath and Galen Stewart. Happy to have you with us, and also happy to be able to bring this sometimes mess to you on the internet, courtesy of Sand Blasters Incorporated. I want to remind you, coming up Saturday afternoon, 3:30 p.m., live from Darlington Raceway in Darlington, North Carolina, is the Dodge Challenger 500, one of the coolest-looking new cars that are coming out there. And one of the other cool parts about those who are going to be in Darlington, North Carolina, is the fact that they get to hang out with our next guest, and it's always a pleasure to introduce our next guest. Paul Bartholomew joins us, just got into town, and Paul, you got that apple chewed up?
Yes, I do, Morty, and by the way, it's Darlington, South
Carolina. South Carolina? Okay, well then, yeah, what we'll do...
Everybody listening on the internet over here is probably up in arms.
Let me change that, because that's how it's written down on my sheet here. So there we go. How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are...
Great day of flying today.
Yeah. How many stops do you have to make on the way?
Just one.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a little hungry, so we set the plane down.
You know? You have that kind of power, huh?
Yeah, you know me.
I know. When it comes
to
you and your stomach, there's no plane can hold you up.
Hi, Galen. Hi, Carla.
Hey there. How you doing?
Really good.
Now, do you make your own arrangements, or do you have somebody that does that for you?
We have what you say people that do that.
Good for you.
People are good. People are awesome. Well, you know, Paul, last week's race generated just a lot of controversy. And the part I like about having a lot of controversy is it gives me lots of good sound bites to use. You had as good a view of anybody. First of all, let's talk about the incident between Michael Waltrip and Casey Mears. And I, for one, would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the boardroom at Napa on Monday morning discussing what they're going to do with this albatross of a driver that they have. What did you see? And you probably talked to the two people involved. What was your take?
I did. Well, what I saw was that it looked like Casey just wasn't clear when he came off the corner and then got into Michael, and they both got into the wall. And at that point, Michael just lost his cool and decided he was going to go ahead and push Casey back to the hauler. With his race car, and it's unfortunate that Michael did that, because it really cost him in the points last week. He probably lost 40 points or
so,
and when you're flirting with the top 35 in owner's points, he is still inside of that top 35, but when you're flirting with that, you really got to keep your head about you, and Michael completely lost his there, and I think it's understandable, because Casey should have known that he was outside of there, and his spotter probably should have told him that, and it looked like Casey just turned the car up there rather than the car just drifting to the outside and into the retaining wall. So Casey made a mistake there, because I think he thought he was clear, and he wasn't. But then Michael made a huge mistake by trying to wreck Casey, and he actually did get him into the wall and then drove by him, and then NASCAR parked him for the rest of the night. And once that happens, they're going to keep their eyes open for the rest of the evening.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know what? I'm not sure that Napa has a problem with it. I don't know. Maybe you guys have heard something. But
no.
They got an awful lot of airtime for the 55 car there, showing the replay.
Well, they generally do, because that's, you know, most times he's either, you know, way back in the pack, or, you know, the excellent side view of the number 55 Toyota Camry as it's on a flatbed being hauled back into the garage. So I suppose it's a win-win deal for them, but, you know, and I can't quite figure it out. I guess, you know, we've talked a lot about my fascination with adrenaline over the years. And, you know, no matter whether you're in front of, what was the crowd there? How many people were in attendance there that night?
Richmond, I think there were about 102.
So if you're in front of 102,000 race fans and you have the same emotions driving, you know, this high-profile series as you would out at Evergreen Speedway or any racetrack in the country on a Saturday night, it's just crazy.
I think that these guys, they, you know, just because they've got $20 million in the bank doesn't mean that they're not racers anymore.
or smart.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, or that they've smartened up at all. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Go ahead, Galen.
You know what that that incident reminded me of is that commercial where they turned the cars over to the kids with the remote controls, you know? It seemed like there was a little kid running the remote control on that thing.
You know what, Galen, if Michael would have thought of that, I'll bet he would have brought that up.
I have a question for you, Paul. It's kind of been bothering me a little bit, and that is Chip Ganassi Racing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, what is the deal? You know, Dario got hurt, and they replaced, you know, I think with Stremme and then Schrader. They're overlooking one guy. What's the deal there?
You know, I saw Kevin, and I think I saw him in Richmond, but it might have been Talladega. I don't really remember now where I saw him. And he is shrugging his shoulders, just going, you know, I'm not driving at all. I don't understand why they wouldn't give the kid a shot. You know, obviously he's a developmental driver for him. If you see some of their show cars and the haulers that they carry those around on, Kevin's picture is prominent on
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not getting to drive at all. And, you know, Stremme drove for him last year, and give David Stremme all kinds of credit. If he's not involved in that last lap incident, you know, he's got another top 10 finish, and he was a runner-up in the Nationwide Series race the day before. So a good driver, but why Kevin Hamlin can't get a shot, I just don't have any idea.
It's amazing.
I've been told, and it's, you know, I can't mention any names or anything like that, but that Chip Ganassi doesn't really run that race shop. You know, it's a couple of his higher-profile guys that run that race shop, and the crews are disappointed in the fact that they build great race cars, and Reed Sorensen seems to wrap them up, you know, into something every weekend.
Yeah.
And it did I say Reed? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to mention names.
No.
It's just very disappointing, Galen. I don't know exactly how to answer that question except for the fact that I don't think Chip is in control of all the money over there.
Well, you know, just when you see Kevin, you know, give him our support. I mean, we all back here know that he can drive a race car, and he can drive it as good as any of those guys. And given the opportunity, he'll prove himself.
Yeah, it was probably a good idea that you guys didn't have him on the show tonight and ask him that question, because I'm sure he's not going to answer it as tactfully as I just did. I'm sure he is just beside himself, wondering what he's got to do to get an opportunity. And we all know the guy can drive a race car.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it is he'll drive the car all day, and he might get you a top 20 finish, but regardless, he's going to drive it back on the hauler at the end of the night, and all you got to do is put stickers on the car, and you can go race it again.
Yeah.
As to where they've got to rebuild all these cars with everybody else. So.
Yeah,
he makes his crews work a lot easier throughout the week, doesn't he?
It's so disappointing.
Yeah, so next time you see him, give him a big hug from all of us here at North Sound Racing.
You got it. I would assume we'll see him here at Darlington this weekend.
Yeah, good. Now, let's move on to item number two from last week's race, and that is the Kyle and Dale show.
What happened there?
A lot of the shows I listen to have been going on and on about Kyle Busch, and Kyle Busch is going to be really scary in about 10 years. And Junior made a comment on his radio show saying that Kyle Busch, when he is 33 versus Kyle Busch when he was 23, which is the age he's at now, is going to be a hell of a race car driver because he's going to be a whole lot smarter. Not necessarily with 10 years of experience, but with 10 years of maturity. Now, here's Kyle Busch out saying, I'm going to wreck anyone I want. I don't care. I don't care what other, you know, he just doesn't care who he puts into the fence. Now, you can take the argument like he just used. Good for sponsors. Kyle Busch's name means that all of his sponsors are getting out there. But, you know, just when you start to like the guy, he does a stunt like what he pulled on Saturday.
How disappointing is that? I mean, he was. I think he was starting to win some race fans over.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the boos were still loud when he was introduced at Richmond on Saturday night. Wait till you hear the boos on Saturday night here at Darlington. Poor Kyle Busch, arguably the best race car driver in the garage.
I agree.
Whatever he climbs into, he wins. We were in the Piggly Wiggly here the other day, and he beat us all to the checkout line. The guy just doesn't miss a beat. So,
did he wreck your cart?
Yes, absolutely.
He did, good.
Absolutely. But it was just a shopping incident.
Just put you right into the Alpo, huh?
Nothing malicious there at all. I've got the magic man right here with me, and he's the one that makes all the magic on the screens happen, and he's the one that showed that it was just a racing incident last week. It's very disappointing. You know, everybody says you're a professional race car driver and you need to control that race car, and
mm-hmm.
I'll agree with that. You don't wreck the leader.
Yeah.
Dang it, Kyle Busch is going for the win, and I think some of these older race car drivers don't necessarily do that anymore. They've hit the wall hard enough.
Yeah, they have.
They throw it in there three wide, and they go, well, this doesn't work. I'll back out of here. And the young kids don't do that. And Kyle Busch has been flipped over many times and been into the wall so many times. I don't think it matters, you know. You can flip his car eight times, and tomorrow he's going to drive it just as hard. So I'll agree with the comment about the maturity. There's no way he can drive a car any harder than he does. But maybe with some maturity, he will maybe respect the leader a little bit more. I'm not sure if he would have respected Dale Jr. if he would have had a chance to win that race.
Steve, I'm looking at Kyle Busch's website for his fan club, and it says, check back later.
Oh, no way,
no,
really.
I'm kidding.
Under construction.
Yeah, server shut down.
Under destruction.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right, let's bring up one more topic with you, my friend, before we get into talk about Saturday's action from Darlington, South Carolina. And let's get your opinion on this young man named Joey Logano. And is Joey Logano making the threat of Tony Stewart leaving Joe Gibbs Racing maybe not that hard of a thing to have to deal with?
Wow. Tony Stewart is a two-time champion. You know, he's an IRL champion. The guy is great race car driver. I don't think anybody can replace Tony Stewart, but what a performance Joey Logano put on in Rockingham.
Wasn't that sick?
Go, huh? Oh my gosh.
That was nuts.
This kid, he went up and he bobsledded with us earlier this year.
Oh, that's right. He did. Yeah.
Do you have time to tell the story?
Sure. You're Paul Bartholomew.
Here it comes.
All right.
Right. We get to take out some snowmobiles because Yamaha was one of the sponsors up there. So we're cruising around out there on the wherever they did the skiing and shooting, what's that called, the biathlon?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're out on that course, and the guy says, okay, everybody, nice and easy through here. Nice and easy. We'll get up to speed here in a little while. Well, Joey just said, yeah, nice and easy. I'll show you nice and easy. He scored that thing, did a couple of cookies, hit some kind of a snowbank, and just kind of Supermaned off of there, right? Just trashed this. Oh, man, snowmobile. But he was okay because he's a young kid.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He picked up the snowmobile and bent the handlebars back into shape and limped it back to the Yamaha people. And they said, what happened here? And they said, the leader said, NASCAR's blanking next superstar. Joey's going to go full tilt in whatever he's got. And I'll mm-hmm. tell you what, this kid is a shoe. They call him sliced bread for a reason. And he's got an effort here in Dover, because that car he's going to climb into in Joe Gibbs Racing in the NASCAR Nationwide Series has won 7 of the 11 races so far this year.
Yeah.
So if Joey doesn't perform in that car, there could be trouble. But, man, what a performance he put on at Rockingham, lapped the entire field except for the one car. I think the second-place car finished on the lead lap, and that's only because of the lucky dog.
Right, right.
Joey didn't lap everybody. The guy is incredible. The last time I saw him, though, his driver's uniform was still – for an adult, and he was still not quite an adult yet. So we'll see what Joey's like here in Dover, but boy, he sure impressed everybody his first route out there in Rockingham.
Wow, what a trip. All right, let's talk about the upcoming race, the Dodge Challenger 500. What are you looking for in that one?
I would love to see a Ford win this race, to tell you the truth, and I'm thinking the Northwest Ford guy, Greg Biffle.
There you go.
Two times a winner here at Darlington, didn't get it done last year, finished 15th, but Greg can get it done, and man, he is sitting right there, top 10 in points. This is something that he hasn't had since the 2005 season, and that's momentum going into as we get ready to get to halfway here in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. And how about Casey Kane, a great driver here at Darlington. I believe he's got 3 poles here. That would be awesome as well, as Casey is trying to make the chase for the Sprint Cup this year. And I think if we just root for our Northwest drivers and watch them and they mind their P's and Q's, I think we'll have them in the chase for the Sprint Cup. And this weekend, I think it's Greg's. I think it's Greg's turn.
Time to shine, huh?
I think it is.
Time to put Vancouver, Washington on the map. Lord knows you've left enough money in Vancouver, Washington over the years, huh?
Oh, my my goodness, absolutely.
All right, my friend, thank you so much. Have you even found your room yet?
No, actually, I found somebody else's room.
Okay, good.
That'll work.
Yeah. But they found an apple and a beverage for me, so that worked.
Man, you are set up. As always, Paul, thank you so much. And if any of you listening ever get a chance to go to a Sprint Cup race or a nationwide race, look on the big old screen, and there you'll see our good friend Paul. Thank you again so much, Paul. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Call me anytime.
You got it, buddy. Have fun over there.
Take care.
All right.
Thanks a lot. That was Paul Bartholomew, and always just an awesome time whenever he is hanging around. We're going to take a break. We've got a really cool guest coming up next. His name is Ryan Ferry, and he's with Nationwide Insurance, and we're going to find out. He's a real race fan, too. That's
he
what's
is.
Awesome about it. And he's a new advertiser here on North Sound 1380 and our show, too, and we'll find out what's going on with him. Ryan Ferry, when we come back next, North Sound Racing here on North Sound 1380, as always, presented by Action Auto Parts.